105 The Ticket.
Superstar, what do you call it when it's raining like this? Don't you have a saying down in Iowa, like a cow peeing on a rock or something weird like that?
No, I mean, that's a real polite way of putting a cow peeing on a rock. I mean, this is what we call fixing to blow up a turd float.
What? Why a turd float? What does turds have to do with any of this?
Because in Iowa, you know, if you walk through a pasture, you'll find some cow pies that have been laying there for a few days, just dried up and sort of... like cow chips at that point. Okay. But well, when it rains like this, those turds, they lift up out of the pasture and they wash down in the ditch. So the farm boys back in Iowa used to say, looks like it's fixing to blow up a turd float. Well, it's not fixing to anymore. It did.
Yeah, obviously. You guys are nutty.
Yeah, I don't know.
You guys are nutty.
I think it describes exactly what happened. You have to be there for when the turds float.
I don't really want to be there, though. That's the problem.
You ought to see the ditch.
I don't want to go anywhere east or south of here. Is that okay? I mean, I'd rather... or northwest, to be honest. I mean, I love Minnesota, obviously. I would go through South Dakota. That's where I grew up. Born in Mankato, grew up in South Dakota, but I don't really like Iowa very much. We made fun of people in... Well, here's the deal. In South Dakota, southeastern South Dakota and Sioux Falls, Iowa, idiots out wandering around. Nebraska, where the N stands for knowledge. North Dakota is our North Korea. And I've always hated Wisconsin because of the Packer deal. I mean, I love Wisconsin, the people and their cheese and their beer and their ladies, because they've got amazing women in Wisconsin.
Well, I will say this. South Dakota was the last place that President Obama visited for a reason, a really good reason, because of people like you living there.
No, I don't live there.
Used to.
No. Well, yeah, yeah, you, I, no, yeah I used to, sure. But I don't live there anymore. That's why he probably felt like he didn't need to come.
Someone,
there anymore.
Someone get me some information. Tell me, does anyone know where Ben Holson lives? Because he used to be here, now he's over there.
It's all right. Leo Collins, we talked about this on Tuesday. I wanted the Minnesota Vikings to sign him. There were reports that Rex Ryan from the Buffalo Bills had met with him, that the Miami Dolphins and the players on the Dolphins were trying their best to recruit him for the front office. And today he had a visit with the Dallas Cowboys and signed. A guy that should have been a first-round draft pick, but he's mixed up in some sort of deal. His ex-girlfriend was murdered. She's pregnant. Came out today that the baby that was that ended up dying was not his child. He's not a suspect by Louisiana police, but they want to talk to him. As I'm sure happens in any criminal case, the cops want to talk to everybody they possibly can to get as much information as they possibly can. And there you go. 3-year deal worth, I want to say, like $2.5 million for the Dallas Cowboys. They don't need any help on that offensive line. We do. Why didn't the Minnesota Vikings bring in Leo Collins?
We don't need him. We just got TJ. We just took TJ.
Could use some depth.
We're good to go.
A first-round draft pick for 3 years at $2.5 million.
Well, you got a first-rounder.
Come on.
His foot messed things up. You said it on the air yourself when we talked to TJ Clemmings.
But you can never have enough, right?
Well, no, you can't. But there's only so many you can have, too. I mean, you got David Yankee. They're still trying to figure out whether that's going to pan out. I don't know. Maybe he's playing better. Berger, pretty good football player. Fusco's back.
Give it Leal. Could be a starting left tackle. So, boom, you put him right. I'd say maybe cut Mike Harris, who's a swing tackle right now. Signed him last year from San Diego. Put him behind Matt Khalil. Matt Khalil, who had 2 arthroscopic knee surgeries and all this knee work done in the offseason. If he has a hard time, you put Leo Collins in there. You're telling me, you of all people who loves offensive line play, a former offensive lineman, wouldn't it be great to have him as the second string left tackle? I feel like the Minnesota Vikings just kind of shot themselves in the foot there.
I don't know about that. Number one, you're going to be in a bidding war against Jerry Jones. He's going to win that.
3 years, $2.5 million. Wow, that's too much money.
Not that anyone else had any live money in the pot, but if you stick your face in there and your wallet in there, Jerry's going to keep bumping it up.
Fine, then you make the Dallas Cowboys, who don't have a lot of money or cap space as it is, in even more cap.
That's a good point. That's a good point. I mean, you could do that to them. I don't know. I mean, there are a lot of things that maybe haven't been answered that Jerry Jones is willing to take a chance on and getting him signed and hoping for the best. I mean, he did that with Greg Hardy, too. Maybe the Vikings don't feel comfortable with where he is with this case and how much of it's been passed off, or was he an accomplice, or did he know someone? Or, I mean, he didn't have to do it himself.
But if he goes to jail and you don't have really, I mean, the guaranteed money is very low on this contract.
Well, on this one, yeah.
So you cut him and yet there's no skin off your back at all. It seemed just to me, it seemed like a no-risk move for the team, and I applaud the Dallas Cowboys for signing him. They take risks.
They do. I mean, honestly, they like Greg Hardy. And he's kind of a bad guy when you think about it. I mean, he's done some pretty crazy stuff. But they were fine with getting him back on the football field, and fine, you know, do what you want to do. But I think maybe the Vikings passed on Lael Collins because of the issue. And trust me, it couldn't have happened on a worse day. If the kid isn't involved in anything or doesn't know anything, I feel bad. I really feel bad for him because he would have been a first-round draft choice. And he would have gone pretty high, probably middle of the round.
Maybe even top 10. I mean, a lot of mock drafts, Dane Brugler had him going, I want to say, number 7 or number 8.
He was a player out of LSU. Look, I don't know what his agent said to Jerry Jones, but he must have said, you know, my client ran into a pretty tough situation. He's back. Hopefully he's cleared. And we'd like to start off where we think this kid was projected to go. Obviously he didn't get it. So what did Jerry Jones do for him? I mean, he must have done something with incentives or whatever. If he became a starter and got playing time incentives, then I'm sure the contract is worth a lot more. But they had to be fair with him somehow.
I would imagine so. Let's take a quick call. Shane from Minneapolis, you are on 105 The Ticket. What's up, Shane?
Hey, how we doing, guys? So I just want to give my thoughts on this.
I'm doing fine.
To be honest, I completely agree with you. Mike, you out of all people know that we need depth, especially after the, let's just say, below average performance of our offensive line last year. I'm in love with TJ as well. That's exactly who I wanted. I wanted him in the first round if we could have gotten him. I'm more than happy with that pick. It just kind of frustrates me as a Minnesota fan in general that I think sometimes we put the public opinion and being Minnesota nice of kind of winning sporting games, whether it's the Vikings, the Timberwolves, Twins, Wild. This guy has a little bit of a character issue. It sounds like he's not even involved in this issue. For the amount of money that they agreed to in this deal, I would have loved to see the Vikings take him to add depth, to add training camp competition. It just seems like another one of those missed opportunities that another team with a big-time owner who's willing to make it happen and do anything to win took advantage of, and we didn't.
Amen, brother. I love this guy. In fact, I would quit my job, walk off today, just so I could have Shane on the radio. I could listen to him every day. Not because he said he loves me and he says that he thinks that what I said was absolutely brilliant and he was taking some shots at you, superstar.
Yes, he was. But I'd be willing to let him sit in that chair permanently. I mean, no, I'd be willing to let you sit there permanently if I could just get Ben out of here. That'd be great. I mean, I'd side with you on more things.
Shane, brilliant take. Call anytime. Call all the time. Love having you on the show. We have to take a break. We have to get to our cold home hugger. Okay. Well, stop calling into Bob's show and just call into ours.
Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, what the hell?
I'm just kidding. You can call into Bob's. I'm kidding.
No, you're not. So anyway, we're going to break this show. Man, this is a strange show, the way you've got this set up. I don't know what the hell you're doing half the time. It looks to me like we're going to have to go to cold Omaha now.
We don't have to. Want to.
I wanted to do other stuff up and down this list, and it's just a jumbled mess because of you.
Well, there are
Call him
breaks.
Back and let him come over here and just start on the job right now, that guy you just talked to. Sam Ekstrom, Cold Omaha, one of the writers, one of the good writers right here at 105 The Ticket, will be on to talk about the Minnesota Twins and this nice little turnaround that they've found since that one day in April where they had a little break, a little time to think and get out of their bags from spring training. He'll talk about that revelation, and it's a good article. So come on back and listen to Sam expound upon that.
People ask what Omaha means. It's a run play, but it could be a pass play.
Omaha! 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 Omaha!
Hey, Montana, pop it!
Omaha! Oh,
God, that me!
Omaha!
Omaha!
Could be a run, could be a pass.
Probably with you going to be passing the gas, though.
Been there.
Done that.
About 7 or 8 times today already. No one's said anything yet. In a crowd of people, it's pretty safe to do. I've done that many times today already. Anyway, enough of that. We do have not just a run or a pass. We have one of the writers at Cold Omaha, from Cold Omaha, at 105 The Ticket. Sam Ekstrom wrote a nice article today on the Minnesota Twins and the turnaround. They were at one point 1-6 in the season after falling victim to the Kansas City Royals in their first home series. They got blown up, and they ended up 1-6, the record was. And I'm telling you what, they turned it around after that, though. They had a little break between series, and they've taken off like a jet airplane. Sam Ekstrom, nice article.
Thanks, Superstar, and I'm very glad that you picked out so astutely the moral of my article is that steak can cure anything. And you talked about it with Berardino. It was that steak dinner that Torrey Hunter prescribed that was really the turning point.
Yes. Well, he was trying to get the guys to settle down. No, let's not get too carried away. We just got the season started. Go home, get out of your bags. I was reading your article. Get out of your bags from spring training. Have a good steak. Get a night's rest. Come back, be ready to play baseball. And you know what? Steak really is one of the superfoods.
Is it really?
No. But it worked for the Twins, so I'm very, very happy to be able to report that.
What a jackass.
Oh, yeah.
Well, they're 15-7.
As my eyes light up, I thought, wow, I'm in the money.
To be honest, Mike Berardino brought up something that I had talked about with Torrey Hunter, and he made it, the steak must have been it. So he twisted it. Now, let that be a lesson to you, Sam.
Yeah, I will.
If you're still there.
Yeah, I am still there. I'm running the show back here at the studio.
Okay.
But, you know, the Twins are...
Okay.
Yeah, you're doing a heck of a job.
Twins are 15-7 since that quote by Hunter. And it's been an incredible turnaround, you know, not only for the offense, but for the pitching staff as well. I think we were all nervous going into the year. Is this going to be the fifth straight abysmal pitching year for the Minnesota Twins, who've got the worst ERA over the past 4 years? And at a point earlier in the week, they actually had a top 10 ERA in terms of their starting pitching staff, which is so rare, something we haven't seen all season, you know, with these Twins teams the past five years. And you've got Mike Pelfrey, you've got Kyle Gibson, who have ERAs under 3, which is concept in these parts for so many years. It's really refreshing to get some good starts and a bullpen that doesn't walk people and can back up your starting staff.
Yeah, Sam Ekstrom, 105theticket.com, part of our Cold Omaha writing team. Just 10 quality starts, though, in 29 games. Sure does a body good, though, when you're scoring 13 runs or outscoring your opponent 6-5 like they did today. Definitely, when the Twins score, they score in bunches. And they either score a lot or they don't score very much. And so, yeah, Twins, the pitching has been pretty good. It's interesting, though. Trevor May, Kyle Gibson, some of these younger guys can't really go past 6 innings or even make it to 6 innings. But thank God for the bullpen right now. Just 10 quality starts in 29 games to me. That can't continue for the rest of the season if they want to continue on the path of being above 500.
The bullpen's been absolutely enormous after that first week. We had Tim Stauffer and Blaine Boyer just getting rocked in their first 3 or 4 appearances. People thought the team made a terrible decision to keep them on the roster. And here's Boyer, who's got 11.1 scoreless consecutive innings. Tim Stauffer has settled down. J.R. Graham has an ERA, something like 1.3 or 1.4. And Glenn Perkins is 10-for-10 in saves. So the bullpen's really come through. And if you take out one game against Detroit where they blew up and allowed 7 runs, this would be a top 10 bullpen in the major leagues. They've been very good at the back end, and they're still going to get Casey Fien back from injury in the next couple weeks here, so they're only going to get better. They seem to be really meshing and supporting the starting staff very well. And I think what's most important, you're right, Ben, the staff hasn't been going deep into games, but they also haven't been getting rocked in the first 2 innings and forcing the bullpen to pitch 7-8 innings in a game, which it seemed like we saw a lot of the past couple of years.
And Sam, I think we have to give the coaching staff a lot of credit. I mean, apparently someone's working with them in the batting cages to get them to finally get back on the hitting trail. And have they done that? It's been amazing to watch the bats come to life. Not to mention the new pitching staff. So, the coaching staff, that is. And, I mean, they're doing a good job in coordinating this whole thing as a new team and a new coaching staff.
Yeah, it's easy to put your faith in guys like Molitor and Bernanski, who did it so well when they were players, and now they can pass on their wisdom to these young major league guys. They've really been the catalyst behind some big turnarounds with Trevor Plouffe this season. He got off to a horrid start. He's batting around 350 since April 19th. He's had five home runs to lead the squad. Torrey Hunter has undergone a big turnaround. He's raised the average about 50 points in the last couple weeks, and he's had a couple really big home runs, that three-run bomb against Oakland, a game-tying home run against Chicago. And then Danny Santana, one of the really young, raw, interesting players on this team. He never walks. He strikes out a lot, but he's actually been hitting the cover off the ball lately, around a 400 average his past 10 games, and he's batting ninth. So when you get that kind of production at the bottom of your order and you put together good at-bats like that, for example, Jordan Schaefer had three hits the other night, that's what helps the top of your order get those RBI opportunities.
And Eduardo Escobar had a heck of a game last night, and then another pretty good game today as well. Three hits, five RBIs, two-run bomb in the sixth, two-run double in the seventh. Not exactly sure of his box score today, but another great game. And he's not an everyday player, but it seems like every time the Twins put him in the lineup, that's the kind of Nick Punto that I like, superstar. I was talking about players that I hate. Well, Eduardo Escobar can play every single position, and he was in the outfield, I think, last night. He can play all the infield positions. He can pretty much do everything but pitch and catch, and that's the kind of guy that I absolutely love. I would love to see him, you know, play more, but when he's in there, he definitely makes it count, and that's what the Twins have to do, especially with the injuries or the suspensions or this and that. Like you said, Sam Ekstrom from 105theticket.com. This team hopefully can just get better when they get, you know, the guys back from injury, whether it be Casey Fien or back from suspension, like Johan Santana Jr. Irvin Santana is his new name, but his God-given name when he was born, and I kid you not, Johan Santana.
Yeah, that's absolutely.
I think it's amazing.
Right.
I'm sorry, I was going to say, I mean, what Trevor Plouffe has done to pick his game up and to find suddenly this power after being a big doubles guy. And I read your article, and the Molitor stating that, you know, it's kind of carried over from last year. He's more of a gap-to-gap guy. We're not going to count on him to rock the ball out of the ballpark all the time, but he's found himself. I mean, he's found some power in there, and he's been one of those guys that have come up big in big moments, the Grand Slam already this year. But they expect him to be the guy that kind of bats people around and puts it in the gap.
We've seen.
And he's not. And he also said. Oh, I'm sorry. He also said that he's not happy with his performance. He's not content with being where he is. He wants to be better all the time, and that's the perfect attitude as well.
Plouffe is a guy who's really added an element to his game every single season, and he's improved year to year. You can see it. You saw him add the power element a couple of years ago. Last year, he started hitting doubles to those gaps, and he's turning into a guy who can hit for power to his pull side, and then he hits to the opposite field for average. And not only that, but this year, his defense has been superb. He's only got one error. He's been one of the best defensive third basemen in baseball. I mean, a couple of years ago, you cringed when the ball went to Trevor Plouffe. He couldn't turn the double play. He had an inaccurate throwing arm, and this year he has been gobbling up everything at the hot corner, and Plouffe has really become a mainstay in this lineup. He can bat third, he can bat fourth, fifth, he can drive in runs, he can hit a timely home run when you need it, as you mentioned, that grand slam against the Chicago White Sox. It's been a fun progression to watch Plouffe improve the past two, three seasons.
Sam Ekstrom from Cold Omaha and our writing team at 105theticket.com. His new article, How the Twins Clawed Back to Above 500. It is an amazing read. I highly suggest you go see it. Thank you for all the work that you've done for us online, and also for all the work you're doing back at the radio station today, because it is a lot of work to keep 41, who's the guy, your assistant back there right now, on task. And so you're a saint for doing that. We appreciate you, and we'll talk to you again another time. Thanks, my man.
Yep, hopefully not the last time of Tom Reed's.
Yeah, oh, a little bit of breaking news, too. Vikings and third-round draft pick defensive end Danelle Hunter agree to a four-year $2.9 million deal with $625,724 guaranteed. I take that paycheck.
Not a bad deal for a third-rounder. And the Vikings are getting them signed. That's one thing Spielman has been really good about, or Rob Brzezinski, actually, too, is getting these guys their deals, getting them signed, get them to not just summer training camp, but getting them into these OTAs and not getting these guys behind by not being there for OTAs and mini camps. So that's a good deal. That's a really good deal. And I'm happy with this entire draft class.
Yeah, me too.
The whole thing.
Not wasting any time, for sure. That's for sure.
In fact, the rest of the league is doing that. They're not wasting any time getting them signed. So from the top all the way to where we're at right now with our number three. So, and Trey Waynes also, if, in case you didn't know. I mean, when he signed a four-year contract worth about $13 million to Trey Waynes. And Eric Kendricks, the linebacker, he got signed. I don't know what the deal was worth there.
Eric Kendricks, $5.2
million. 5.2. So we're getting there. We're getting there. Left tackle, Matt Khalil. He's got a couple knees that he's had scoped by James Andrews, the great one, the great surgeon.
Couple 13-14 knees?
A couple 13-14 knees. But he's got them done. And let's hope that that was the issue last year. I mean, he may not have come out and said it directly, but there must have been something wrong. And I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt, but he's got to show us all this year. I mean, show me state. All I was from Northeast Missouri State. You got to show me.
It's a different place. Here we just are like, okay.
We'll keep doing that.
Okay. I suppose.
We're going to take a little break here, and we're going to come back and,
Ooh, baby. Ooh-wee.
We can kind of go with a dealer's choice here.
And don't go anywhere because we're giving away sold out. This is going to be your last chance here, by the way, on Sports Radio 105, The Ticket. Last chance to get into the sold out Northern Invasion Tour with Slipknot, Five Finger Death Punch, Volbeat. They've been super hot tickets. We grabbed and stole the last pair from 93X just down the hall before they figure it out.
Let's give them away.
We'll give them, yeah, hurry up and give them away. So when we come back, we'll do that. So don't go anywhere, okay? Everybody?
Everyone.
Everybody.
Stand by. Stay tuned.
From the locker room.
Music is really good, and that must mean something. it means it's Mike's break. We've talked all kinds of stuff today. Deflategate, that thing blowing up, the Wells report, Tom Brady's old man coming out in defense of his son, Tommy.
Called him Tommy in USA Today.
He's just fantastic.
Saying if anybody's got integrity, it's my little Tommy.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Okay.
Dad, thanks, Dad. We thought you'd come out and say, you know, my son, you know, it's like him to cheat. And it's you know, it's sort of his style to be sort of just this repulsive, negative sort of part of his mother and my life is that we don't think he's a very class act. And
no.
He would do something like this. And I think the Wells report should have stated, definitely Tom Brady set this whole thing up.
Hope you kick him out of the league. Hope he is the next Pete Rose. Is he going to be able to get into the Hall of Fame? Because I don't like the money he gives me either.
Yeah. And
I don't need that money.
Sure.
That's crap.
Yeah.
Money's stupid.
Just come out and just say, look, if it were up to me and I'm his father, it used to be up to me all the time, but I'd suspend him.
Yeah.
And I'd ask for 10 game checks.
I think what Roger Goodell should do is bring him to the league offices in New York and put him over his knee, take his pants down and slap him on his bare buttocks like I used to do when he was 3 years old. Then make him eat a bar of soap.
Yeah.
That's what I think.
Some lava. Or just have Adrian come up with a switch. Back to the office. Switch him a little bit. You're just mesmerized by that food. Look at you.
Sorry, what did you say?
Mesmerized, no.
There's food.
Yeah, there's food there.
I was looking at, what did you say something to me?
I don't know.
Am I on a radio show with you right now?
No, you're looking at food.
Well, it's food.
No.
Sorry.
I made it funny about Adrian.
Oh, ha, 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 ha.
It was funny. Funny, funny stuff. Thought Adrian might be able to switch young Tommy.
Oh, that's not funny. That's bad.
Bad deal.
Peterson back with the Minnesota Vikings now. We don't joke about him. This is serious.
Yeah, it
right?
is. Well, yeah, we've changed. We've turned over a new leaf.
No funny allowed.
Yeah. Well, that's our guy. We're loyal to him. That's our guy. So
love
we're not
going
to make fun of him anymore. But look, it's been one of those days. Lael Collins.
Yeah.
Was signed by the Dallas Cowboys today. They got him on the cheap.
Should have been a Viking.
Definitely a first-round draft
choice.
Thank
God he's
not
a Bear or a Green Bay Packer.
Yeah, but the Dallas Cowboys got him. I mean, you got to go through Dallas to get through it to a Super Bowl.
Just me, I don't like Dallas either.
Hate him.
But at least it's not Green Bay or Chicago.
That's true.
Particularly Green Bay.
I think they got him, what, for 3 years? 2.9?
Yeah, two-something, yeah.
Amazing. That was a good football player, but my God, the things he went through, I mean, do we really know if it's all done, said and done yet? I mean, that's just a Jerry Jones thing. To get that, to do that before anyone else had a chance to talk to him, and hope he's probably just hoping for the best.
Of course he's hoping for the best. Doesn't it surprise you that they haven't signed Ray Rice?
Yes. I really, seriously.
There was
no one's
APB. What does the APB stand for? But whatever it was, there was like sources and rumors and whatnot that there were several teams that were talking, seriously talking about bringing Ray Rice back into the league and having him sign and play for a team next year. Well, when it comes to a team like the Dallas Cowboys, who brings in Randy Gregory, the pot-smoking linebacker out of Nebraska. They bring in Greg Hardy, the guy who had some problems with his ex-girlfriend and some domestic violence problems. They sign him. He has a 10-game suspension now by the NFL. Sitting out most of the league the year last year on the commissioner's exempt list. Interested in Adrian Peterson. We all know what happened with Adrian Peterson. Why wouldn't they bring in Ray Rice? Des Bryant?
They franchised him.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they feel they have a system in place to be able to deal with these character issues. Pac-Man Jones was down there for a while. Mm-hmm. They had a lot of people that they've had security
Michael
following
Irvin.
Them. They've had issues down there for years. Years.
But they continue to bring in these guys.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, this has become Oakland from the 1970s.
Except they win, though. Oh, yeah, the 70s. Gotcha, the 70s. Yeah. 70s.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that was where all the misfit toys went. Good, yeah. Every one of them went there.
Yeah.
So anyway, this is I think it's a fascinating day in the NFL. I mean, not fascinating, but and then we got some of our guys signed, made some room on the roster, released a few players. Wentworth gone, Tiny's gone.
Isn't it funny how last year everybody was like, "Oh, Antonio Richardson, he's going to be the guy. He's this huge guy, but they call him Tiny. He's funny. Let's put him on. Let's mic him up for a game. A preseason game was absolutely awful. Didn't say a thing."
Yeah, Tiny said, "Let's go." That was a highlight reel. Let's go.
He was the Babatunde Ayegbuosi of last year. How the media jumps onto a guy, and I know we're part of the local media here, but isn't it so stupid sometimes where the media will jump on this guy? For example, Tiny Richardson last year. He's going to be the next big thing. He's massive. He's, you know, they're going to groom him to be a tackle, and he's going to be Vikings guy for years to come. Same thing with Babatunde Ayegbuosi from Poland. He probably doesn't even make it out of a training camp. And if he does, he's on the practice squad next year. He'll be gone. Nobody will even remember. Why do these people make such big deals about these nobodies?
I don't know. I didn't even think of him, the big guy from Poland, when we were talking about depth. I didn't even think of it.
No, of course not.
But yet, if you ask him a question about how he'll do, he's willing to do one thing, and that's put J.J. Watt on his ass.
Yeah.
That's what he said. He's not going to stop until he puts J.J. on the ground. Okay. Well, we'll see. We'll just see how things go. Come on back, everybody. We've got, I don't know about this. I think we just talked about it. Well, let's make up something else. Let's just pull something together here. It'll be a dealer's choice during this break. You wouldn't want to miss it. It'll be zany. Come on back, everyone. We're at Tom Reed's, brought to us by Rogoszewski, and Atkins, criminal defense attorneys. Before you blow, call Rogo.
05 the ticket. That's what I think about that.
Yeah,
that's what I said. Can't copy
a little
me.
Metallica.
No, don't copy me. Metallica, they sang, I think it was Kirk and James, every year.
That's
they're from San Francisco. Every year, at some point, they sing the national anthem or play the national anthem at the San Francisco Giants game.
And the San Jose Sharks.
And the San Jose Sharks, too. Why not the 49ers and Raiders and all that stuff, too, then?
Yuppie teams.
Oh, yuppies. Damn yuppies. San Jose's yuppie. Come on. San Jose, that's, what do they call that? You know what they call it.
The Sharks. That's what they call it.
Nike? No, what do they call it? That's where Apple is.
Apple. That's in Oregon, yeah.
Huh?
What are you talking about, Nike? We're talking about Oregon now.
No, I'm talking about San Jose. Where the it's like Tech Valley or something like that.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I don't know how many concussions you've had. I've had six in my lifetime. Bad ones. In the hospital, knocked out for a day and a half.
Trust me.
So I have memory lapse problems and migraine problems. So
Yeah.
Don't laugh and point at me.
No, I feel for you. Trust me.
Think fast.
I am not kidding you. I am feeling
fast.
For you.
You didn't catch it. I said think fast.
He's throwing stuff at people now. Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
I think it's funny. I hit her in the boob.
Yeah, you did. I noticed that. Minnesota Twins.
I love them.
I cannot believe what this has turned out to be. We're looking at a team that has found pitching. And Sam Ekstrom noted, it's good to see the bridge between the starters and the bullpen.
Like the bridge over troubled waters?
Yeah, very much so, yeah. And it's working. Things are working. Santana, sitting out there waiting to come back into it. He'll be fresh with 80 games left to go in the season, 82 actually.
We don't even need Santana. How about you just eat the rest of his contract and let him be a free agent? Because screw it. We're doing this without Santana. No, I'm just kidding. But no quality starts, really. 10 quality starts out of 29 games. It just boggles my mind.
And it's amazing.
We've talked to Mike Berardino, Hardball, every day at 5:30, and I get frustrated. Trevor May, okay, he's got a pretty good outing. Kyle Gibson, pretty good outing. They take him out in the sixth inning. It's like, what are we paying these guys for? I understand that their pitch count may be up, and it's the beginning of the season. But at some point,
They are big on that. Tommy, Malone was actually pitching pretty well. They let him go into like eight, didn't they?
Yeah, he got blown up a couple times, and he's no longer anymore.
Yeah, still as a whole, though, this team has just made a complete turnaround, a lot like the Wild did when Dubnyk got here. I mean, these guys started hitting the ball all over the place
still early.
And out of the ballpark. Well,
yeah,
I know. It's still
early. So early.
Well, I mean, they won't be any good.
What?
They won't be any good.
Who? Twins?
The Twins.
I don't know. I mean, it's fun to watch these young guys, too, come up. It's fun to finally see Trevor Plouffe get out of his shell a little bit. I've been a big Trevor Plouffe fan, but finally it seems like this year he's actually turning into one of those veteran players that can consistently be put either, in the cleanup spot or somewhere shortly thereafter and make some things happen. Joe Mauer's having a pretty good year. Torrey Hunter is on fire lately. I want to say he's hit 3 home runs in the last week or two. Kenny Vargas has caught some fire as well. He was in a bit of a slump. Danny Santana, more of the same thing. And Eddie Rosario, you bring him up here and hits a home run off of the first pitch of his career in Major League Baseball. So he could go on. Kurt Suzuki, obviously the catcher, doing a good job of managing the staff for the most part and coming up with key hits.
Trevor Plouffe.
Already said Trevor Plouffe.
Trevor, I can't. Can you imagine that? I mean, what he's done with himself. Just the middle of the lineup itself was 7th in offense last year in the major leagues. I mean, they're better right now. Right now, it's very, very early, but a 6th of the season is gone. Just keep this thing going.
Yeah.
You might get some relief from some of the starters. I don't know about Nolasco. I have no idea when he plans to return. But Santana's going to be the unusual thing on the team.
Nolasco's really back today.
No, he just got back today?
No, I think he's been back for, this might have been his second, but he pitched today, albeit it was shaky. But it wasn't too bad, but I mean, not too bad.
I'm hoping for the best with Santana when he gets back. I just hope he takes off. And it gives him a boost instead of the negative jar that he gave us when he got caught for PEDs. That would be outstanding.
If Jim Rich doesn't come here and eat this cheeseburger, who's going to eat it?
You are.
No, I've already had. Did you see, I had like a meatloaf-sized plate of ribs.
We can give it to Mike. Mike will eat it. He'll eat a hamburger from time to time.
All right.
He'll slam dunk that. Okay. But Jim Rich swears he's coming by.
Well, he said after 6:30 he'd love to be here.
And so he's probably hustling over here. Had some TV work to do.
Oh, you know what? It did rain earlier today, and so the humidity in the air is going to screw with his hair. And he's one of those TV guys. I don't know. I just sent him a text message, though, and said, dude, your cheeseburger is here waiting. Where are you?
So you never know.
No.
You just don't know. But we are going to try and get Jim Rich. We should take a little break, though, I think.
Yes.
And we'll have Jim Rich somehow, maybe by phone or something, walking over here to be on with us live and eat this hamburger.
We'll have him by a smoke signal or maybe walkie-talkie.
Yeah. I mean, that'd be good. We love Jim Rich. Jim, hurry up, for gosh sakes. We got a hamburger waiting for you. Come on back, everyone. It's a radioactive sport.
It's a team that obviously has great firepower, but
You know, you don't win championships without being really good defensively. And they've beaten different teams and done it different types of ways. And so, obviously, if you open up the game against them, then they can get into that type of game. But they are certainly capable of playing in tight checking hockey games as well.
Game four about to begin in a few hours. A couple hours. But they got to get it done. Can't let it come to you. I think you got to go get it tonight. You got to definitely put some bodies on some bodies and make them pay a price for everything they try and do. Should have been playing that way the whole time.
No kidding. Let's make them feel super sore tomorrow when they wake up. They can barely even walk.
That's what the deal is. I mean, you're going to have to absolutely go out there and be aggressive. The next, if not this time, it'll never happen. Not again, anyway. Not this season. But you're going to have to play. If you're going to get this thing done, you're going to have to go out and wreak havoc and just raise holy hell every game. Going, you have literally everything to lose and plenty to gain if you just keep going and just get yourself on track.
Yeah.
It's a hard thing to do, though. It's easier said than done, obviously, but that's a pretty darn good squad they're facing.
A really good squad they're facing, and they seem to get better the deeper they get into the playoffs. I mean, there's a reason why in the last 5 years or so they've won the championship twice. And they're That's a good team. I mean, the worst part, too, is if we make the tiniest little bit of a mistake, and that's what Mike Yeo was talking about, they sit back. The Blackhawks just sit back there, and they're almost like an alligator just waiting to pounce. They're going to sit back there in the water, their eyes above the water, just maintaining, letting everybody know that they're there until something happens, and then they're going to pounce, and it's going to be all over. And when Ryan Suter made that mistake, I think it was game two, I believe, in Chicago at the United Center, and he made that little mistake at the half ice there.
Mm-hmm.
And If they have a 2-on-1, a 3-on-2, or they're making their way towards Devan Dubnyk, I feel so bad for that guy because there really is. You have no idea where the puck's going. You have no idea who's going to shoot the puck. And usually it ends up in the back of the net.
It's they're devastating.
They're so good. How can they score so easily and we have such a hard time doing it? I mean, Devan Dubnyk's a great goalie. He's done so well for the Wild all season. Corey Crawford has been a stinker for, you know, the first round of the playoffs. He's been obviously pretty good in the second round. God, they own us.
Kane,
it's so disappointing.
Kane is off the charts.
Taves,
Taves
awesome.
Is too.
Keep
I
going.
Mean, they're just outrageous.
Sharp.
Those two are just outrageous.
Sharp's good too.
You hear people like Tom Reed. You hear people like Mark Parrish, Jim Rich talk about Kane and Taves. And I mean, it's like the upper, just the highest respect, even from players, former players. For those two guys, is that they sort of have set themselves aside, you know, on top of everything, away from everybody, as being the most talented. And I agree. You watch them play. I mean, they are they're playing at a different level. So it's going to be a matter of just getting after tonight. I mean, screw all the finesse and speed skate. You know, we're going to have to bash some people around. That's not our style at all. But you have to go out and take what you want. That's what we're going to have to do tonight.
That's what they should have done from the get-go. And I almost feel like that the Minnesota Wild, everybody's been calling them the Wild, that the Blackhawks are the Wild are the Blackhawks like minor league team. They're the little brother. But at some point, the little brother is going to grow up. Aren't you the little brother?
Well, I've been let's put it this way. I feel like I've been a little brother from time to time. I'm the oldest of the two boys in my family.
Okay.
But I've been on a team where I felt like a little brother and treated like a little brother, trust me.
And then you overcome and you beat the snot out of whoever's been treating you like a little brother.
Yeah.
I mean,
at
some point, and we thought it was going to be this year, fans and people in the media and people that are involved with the Minnesota Wild, everybody thought this year was going to be different because the two previous years the Minnesota Wild have lost and been knocked out of the playoffs by the Chicago Blackhawks. Not this year. Not when we have Dubnyk. Not when we signed Thomas Vanek. Not when we made the trade for Chris Stewart and Sean Bergenheim. Brought in Jordan Leopold. I mean, the young guy's getting better. Look at Matt Dumba. He's going to score from all over the place. Got this heavy shot. Mikael Granlund's unstoppable. Charlie Coyle doing this and that. And I mean, none of it's come to fruition. It's just been so disappointing. Yet, look at Tom Reed's. I mean, look out amongst the crowd.
They're still out here.
They are still. Minnesota Wild fans are so diehard. And the game doesn't even start until 8:30.
I know. They're going to just hang out here for a while. A couple hours, in fact. And continue just to sort of get ready. It's sort of a different feel in here, though, I would say. For the other game that we had 2 days ago. And this one feels different because, obviously, they're down 3-0 right now in the series. But, I mean, these people are diehards. They really are. And I take my hat off to them. I hate to see them almost going backwards.
Yeah.
I mean, wow. Last year they took them to 6 games. I mean, really, really good games. And here we are, Chicago again. They haven't won a game at all. It's be so depressing to see them come this far the way they have.
Being swept, that's such an embarrassment.
It would be bad. Well, I mean, yeah, it's after everything they've done. But, you know, we've talked about it with Tom Reed. Did Yo play, you know, Suter too much? Could he have given him some more time? Dubnyk, like Tom said, you had to play him. People ask, is he tired? No, he's probably not tired, and you had to do what you were doing with him in the regular season to even get as far as we got. So it's just one of those things. We laid it all on the line. We have to continue to do that, and I think this team is good enough to do that. It's been the kind of team that's been really resilient and shown that they can do it even in the toughest circumstances. So let's hope for the best tonight. That's all you can do.
Obviously. Supposedly, Big Daddy Jim Rich is one block away, or at least that's what he's telling our crack crew down at the radio station. Thanks to Sam Ekstrom for all the hard work you've done back there in 41. You're a good man. I don't care what superstar Mike Morris says about you. Mike's doing a great job here, keeping us on task for the most part while he plays Super Mario Brothers on his laptop computer and eats all my cheese curds.
It's just the way it is.
But it's fine. It's fine.
That's just, well, I'm sorry the way it is. You know what? We don't know where the woman is that's painting because
we're
doing a radio show. We're actually doing a radio show.
We're only on the radio right now. That's all. Yeah,
yeah, right. We do.
Look who's here. There he is. Jim Rich is coming.
I'll be darned if he didn't make it. I'll be doggone.
Look at him.
Jim Rich. It's such a wonderful thing to see you, Jim. It's so good to see you.
Hey, buddy.
What are you up to? Go ahead and put him on, young man. Put him on. I just find this remarkable.
How about this? Let's take a break.
He's like the Undertaker. Be the last
person. Now that Jim finally gets here.
Oh, look at Randy. Brought Randy with him, too.
Randy Meyer. Oh, my God. Haven't seen Randy Meyer for probably 8 years. I used to sit next to you doing news. You did news on, remember you did news on Joe Soucheray. I sat next to you. Used to call me Big Ben. Remember the day? Yeah. Back in the day.
Not Big Ben anymore. From 260 back to 215 pounds.
Yeah, I think I was skinnier than that when I worked with Randy. I was like 19 years old.
Wow. Break them.
What?
We'll come back with these guys.
I just got here. What? You commercial?
Gotta get your cheeseburger. Wow. Honest, it came a couple minutes early, and we said we got to send it back and get a new one because he's late.
No, I was not late.
Okay.
The rickshaw driver was late.
Okay.
Of course.
Well, let's
was.
Take a break because we want full time with Randy and what's your name again?
Yeah. See, as soon as that's what happened. I brought him and right away, here, hand those to him.
Sorry, we're on the radio right now. I can't talk to you. I'm very sorry.
It's amazing.
Can you believe this happened?
It's amazing.
But wow.
I'm doing a live shot and people ask me where their seat is.
Yeah, I know.
Because I got the sport coat on. They go, do you work here? Could you tell me where section 108 is?
Excuse me, ma'am. I'm on the TV right
that,
now.
You see that camera? I'm actually speaking into that camera right
people
now.
Are silly.
Anyway.
Oh, well.
So let's take a little break and come on back. We got Jim Rich. Randy might join us as well. So let's just hope for the best on that one. Right here.
No.
At Radioactive
Chicago.
Sports.
Okay. Then. Who finally made it. Finally. And only because Randy Meyer brought it.
Randy Meyer's here.
You know,
he was responsible enough to get Jim here.
Yeah.
It wasn't the other one.
It was like leading a puppy down the street. He kept seeing things. He wanted to go here and he wanted to go there.
That's Jim Rich. That's the Jim Rich
Look
we know and love every single day.
I just ride his coattails wherever he goes.
Well, now
I'm right.
We end up
career.
At Reed's, right?
I know exactly how you feel because I piggyback on the superstar every single day.
I know you do.
I'm often sitting on his knee. Usually when we talk to you, Jim.
I think it's kind of nice, too, by the way. I think it's kind of a nice thing, the way you and I have bonded, and we share laps from time to time. I think it's great.
Yeah, and we spoon often. It's weird.
You can do it right now if you want to.
No, I'm good right now. I want to spoon with Randy instead.
That. Yeah, well, it's okay. We'll let that go down maybe after the show. But we have James Rich and Randy Meyer, who, by the way, has a really pretty good pair of hands. I mean, he caught some snaps down at the studio at Fox 9.
Hey, no, that was it. That was the television first. And by the way, a lot of people saw that.
Yeah.
And they said, what was that like? I said, it is coming 1,000 miles an hour. About the you have enough time to go like this. And for you people on the radio, I just shook my hands once, and it's there.
Aren't you afraid that it's going to break your fingers, though? Seriously, because
I did what I said.
At the radio station, and I'm sitting back there like two stations away, and he flings it back. I thought, oh, my God, my fingers are going to break in half.
I said, not the face.
Yeah.
Just don't hit me the face.
I was actually asking for the face. It would actually help me a little bit, but something completely different.
An upgrade, I'm sure. But this game tonight is everything. It's game four. They've won. The Chicago Blackhawks have taken the first three. This is do or die. Do they have it in them? Tom Reed says, absolutely, they got it in them. They've won four in a row before. Not with the same team. Not against the same team, but what do they got going here tonight? Let's...
Go Blackhawks!
No! Okay. Move on!
Go, okay. You are no longer welcome here.
Okay. Go away!
Bye! Bye! No, I can't. No, stop it. Cops, any security? No, get her out of here.
It's wrong. It's just wrong.
Well,
yes, they have it in them. They have it in them. I mean, how many times does this team face do or die? How many times do we talk about it in January that, well, they got to win 7 out of 10 just to get in? And they did it. But they never looked at the big picture.
Yeah.
They said, well, if we look at that and we have to win 7 out of 10, we're just going, you know, our minds will go mush. But you're sitting here in a situation where you have an opponent that you've beaten during the regular season a couple of times. You've been right in all these games. Last time you lost 1-0. That's it. So it's not a big separation between the clubs. So you go out there, you win this game. Then we go to Chicago and see what happens there. But that's what they're looking at. That was the mantra in the locker room, and it was believable. It wasn't just talk that, oh, yeah, we got this. You know, they were believable in their speech this morning.
My theory is a little bit simpler. I don't think Crawford can be that good two games in a row.
He was.
That's a Jimmy, good theory, you agree or not?
Well, yeah. Well, he got ran out in Nashville. He got ran out in that series. Scott Darling had to come in and bail him out.
Yeah.
Then he came back in. So, you know, it's all about getting shots. They had 30 last game. Let's up that to about 50 tonight. Let's see how he does with 50.
Absolutely.
Fired as well.
He's been good. I mean, this will be a third game in a row because he was pretty good game two. And then
That's
game
right.
three, obviously, no goals. But it's hard to win when you can't score a single goal. And Devan Dubnyk had a heck of a game. I mean, he let the think the goal go through his five
A lot
hole.
Of people let Patrick Kane's go through. So,
yeah.
There
yeah.
you go.
And what do you
it
do,
happens.
Though? I mean, how do you get more shots on goal? I mean, easier said than done, right?
Right.
I mean, do you have a guy like Dumba just fire away and just let the ricochet and then somebody follow it up and get... How do you go about doing this? I mean, they're a good team.
Right. And I you have to make them feel uncomfortable because Chicago is so confident, so cocky. They've got two Stanley Cups in their back pocket. If the game is close, if things are scoreless, they're fine. They're fine. They'll wait. They know they'll get a chance. Kane, all he needs is one shot. Taves, that's all he needs is one shot. And so they're happy playing that style. So the Wild have to get on them right away. But what Yo said today was that we have to be doing things with a purpose. In other words, when we get in the zone, don't just throw it to a corner. Figure out why you're throwing it there. That you see your teammate has a step on the defender. He says, we have to win battles. That's where it has to come. So the plan works, but it has to be executed better. And they have to play with a purpose, knowing what you're doing with the puck. He says, and when we come into the zone, he says, you slow down. He says, our guys are slowing down right now. They stop skating. You know, they have to, in their heads, realize I got to keep moving.
Yeah.
Because when they stop, that allows Chicago to get set.
Right.
That'll let's get everybody in front of the net. But if you keep moving, it changes the angle of the passing lanes, the shooting lanes. It changes those things. So he says if they can remember those things, they can get some better opportunities.
It's incredible.
Who's key to winning tonight's game? It's going to be very tough. The backs are against the wall. Obviously down 3-0. They have to rip off four in a row. We've talked about Thomas Vanek, where's he been? We've talked about Ryan Suter making that mistake. I want to say in game two that the Chicago Blackhawks went racing down and they got a shot past Devan Dubnyk. I think it happened twice. Who is key to tonight's game? There are so many people. Yeah, here's your cheeseburger, Jim Rich.
What?
Right here. Here it
nice.
Is.
This is
who's
true?
Key to tonight's game? Is it Granlund, Coyle, Niederreiter, Koivu, Vanek, Parisi? I mean, a lot of these guys have have been nowhere to be found, obviously, especially last game.
I always say the key to this game and for this team.
Look at more media.
Everybody's here.
Is still Dubnyk. You know, you've got Patrick Kane shooting at you, it's got to be Dubnyk. However,
you got to have somebody scoring.
Well, you do, but you're always going to have Parisi scrapping in front of the net, right?
Yeah. Yep.
For sure.
Yep. Dubnyk has got to steal the game tonight. He's got to raise his game to a level like there's none other. And he's never been in this kind of situation. This is his first time in the playoffs. Maybe things have changed for him. Maybe he doesn't, maybe it's bothering him a little bit or the way Chicago attacks at him. But this is a situation where he has to play his best game, better than he did in St. Louis, better than any of the previously three games, because that's what Crawford's doing. Sure. That's how they won that game.
I think it's incredible too. I mean, just Chicago's experience is showing right now too. And when they get a team like this, I mean, it's bad news. I mean, now you got to have Dubnyk's best game ever, and you have Taves and Kane thinking, just one more, and those guys are pretty good as we've talked about, and it's. So that's what they're up against. Is their experience is pretty hard to get out of this jam that we're in right now, we find ourselves in right now. Those are the same guys that helped out with those two Stanley Cup championships.
Yeah, I hope we're talking about the Minnesota Wild living another day tomorrow, and we're not talking about the end of a season, but we're...
Win two in a row, and we're back here Monday night.
Yeah, I know. I'd love to be back here at Tom Reed's. I love the nachos. I just want it one more time, guys. At least one more time, but... thanks, Jim Rich, for coming down. Enjoy your cheeseburger, Randy.
How about
Meyer,
Randy Meyer? He has a non-compete, but he thought it would be okay because he didn't know.
I wasn't sure how many we'd be broadcasting to, so I figured that.
Perfect.
We're good, right?
Yeah.
We're good. We're not trying.
This is just a little podcast.
It's like a Periscope or something.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Kind of.
Precisely.
Not really.
Yeah. But yeah, so we win tonight. Everybody on board. We're winning tonight.
Absolutely.
This team will not lose four in a row.
Okay.
I agree.
Sounds good.
I agree.
You think they win? I'm going to say they lose only because when I say they win, they lose.
Oh, so you're doing the
reverse psychology.
You're doing the right thing.
It worked like a dream last year. It worked so far in round one. Round two, I thought we were going to win every single game, and we've lost every single game. So,
all right,
that's been the problem. Thanks for coming by, guys. Enjoy the cheeseburger.
This is awesome. You guys delivered.
Look at this. We always deliver.
You're supposed to wait till you get off the air, Jimmy, before you eat.
Superstar Mike Morris.
Not with Morris.
Love
you
like a brother. Wrap it up. Take it home, and we'll see you more on the radio.
True superstar coming up right now. Army Major Michael J. Donahue, 41 years of age, from Columbus, Ohio, died September 16 in Kabul, Afghanistan, in a suicide car bomb attack. He was assigned to the headquarters and headquarters battalion, 18 Airborne Corps out of Fort Bragg, North Carolina. Again, Army Major Michael J. Donahue is my true superstar. Keep in your hearts and prayers, if you would, please. He's a brave, brave man, and he keeps people like you and I safe. Good night.
Cold.